I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Earlier this year, if you asked your friends their thoughts about the Common Core, they might respond, "Common what?" But this fall, these new public education standards have received a lot of attention, and not all of it flattering. In mid-September, several conservative groups held a standing-room-only forum at St. Anselm College, where Common Core was blasted as a federal intrusion into local public schools. Opponents also won a partial victory in Manchester a few weeks later, when the Queen City School Board partially rejected adoption of Common Core in favor of developing its own standards. Then in mid-October, the New Hampshire Business and Industry Association joined the debate, voicing its support for Common Core, saying it would make for a better educated workforce. And just last week, another crowded forum on this issue was held, with many speakers in favor, several of whom complained these standards have been misconstrued and politicized. Given all this public debate, it's no surprise that the legislature's now gotten involved, with half a dozen bills filed to either limit, delay, or completely do away with Common Core in New Hampshire. Meanwhile, most local school districts are already on a path toward implementation and are wondering what all this might mean for them. Today in The Exchange, the tug of war over Common Core. Let's hear from you. What questions do you have about what these new standards could mean for your schools? Or based on what you've heard, what do you think of them? Also, why do you think that these are, all of a sudden, proving controversial? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. We have three guests. Mark Conrad is here, superintendent of schools for the Nashua School District and a big supporter of Common Core. And Mark Conrad, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us, Laura Haney, president of the American Federation of Teachers, New Hampshire. And Laura, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good morning and thank you.
And also with us, Sam Evans-Brown, education reporter at NHPR, who has been covering this issue. And Sam, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Laura.
Well, and Sam, let's just back up for a few minutes. Remind us what these standards are, where they come from.
So the Common Core standards are a set of goalposts. Whenever you think about standards, that's how you can imagine them. It's basically what should a student know when they finish each grade year. You know, they should be able to use the quadratic equation. They should be able to identify arguments in a text. You know, and the sort of robustness of how well they should be able to do each of these things depends on the grade that they're graduating from. And they were developed by the National Governors Association and by the Council of Chief State School Officers. So these are representatives delegated by the governor's offices and by the departments of education from every state, and they came together and wrote these standards. And the funding for them largely came from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has played into the sort of rhetoric surrounding the standards themselves. But that's what they are. They've been adopted now by 45 states and almost a 46th.
So it's different from No Child Left Behind in that this is not a federal mandate. This is a set of common educational standards that a lot of people in a lot of states came up with, Sam. And then 45 states said, yeah, these look good and we'll do this.
Right. It's actually, well, it's different from No Child Left Behind in a lot of ways. No Child Left Behind was sort of more of a testing and accountability regime. The Common Core state standards are just this effort to say, we have a lot of different states that are holding their kids to different standards, some of them much lower, some of them higher. Why don't we sort of uniformly raise the bar in all the states across the country and try to get some sort of consistency in what we're expecting from students?
Well, and even within a state, you have different, you have differences in Hollis versus, Gorham.
Or even within a school. I mean, if you look back in the 80s, there would be consultants who would come in, wander around a school, and they'd find the same subject being introduced in various grade levels.
What was the rationale then, Sam? I mean, you've touched on it, but there was a lot of talk about not just let's raise the bar for all the states, but there was sort of this global rationale of, bringing America into the 21st century and so forth.
Right. And when you look at one of the pieces that was done when designing the Common Core, they went around and looked at countries that perform very highly on international assessments, international tests. And they say, okay, who's doing really, really well? And what are the common factors that all of these countries have? And one of them was they held really their students to a really high standard. So they said, okay, we need to raise the bar because this is what the countries that are performing well are doing. So that's one of them. And also the other is that piece that, you know, there really wasn't a lot of uniformity. You'd look at some states that they'd have their own local state assessment and students would be performing extremely well. And then you'd compare that to a national assessment where they're being compared to other students. And you'd say, oh, actually, you know, they aren't doing that well because it's just that they have a lower bar.
Yeah. Mark Conrad, you've been a big supporter of Common Core. You've written about this a lot. You've been talking about it. What is it about these that you think makes it such a good idea?
Well, I think it goes back to what Sam was saying. As a country, we've done a better job graduating students from our high schools. But we still know that after graduation, we're not seeing the levels of success in college or careers that we should be seeing. 50% or better than 50% of our students who go on to some type of post-secondary education never complete that education, whether it's an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. I've seen it firsthand here in New Hampshire, serving as a member of the state's Advanced Manufacturing Educational Advisory Council, where I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of different advanced manufacturers within the state who will talk about the difficulty they have in finding high school graduates who have the requisite reading and math skills necessary to step into positions they have open right out of high school. And so I think there has to be a real sense of urgency that we need to do a better job as an educational system in assuring that our students have deeper levels of knowledge and skills to be more successful once they leave our public school system.
So how does Common Core, just briefly, Mark, if you could, and then we'll get into detail for sure as the hour rolls out, how does Common Core achieve that?
I think it achieves it in a number of ways. It's a standard first on reading, writing, and math, but it also looks at how you apply those areas across different content areas, whether it's science or social studies or a career and technical education program. And I think of it in this way. So if you're graduating from high school, do you have the ability to be able to understand a complex textbook, or do you have the ability to understand a technical bulletin in an automotive shop? So it really focuses on text complexity and being able to understand more complex informational text. At the same time, it wants students to be able to think critically, to get beyond what in our past generations and even my generation was more of a focus on recalling information, to be able to synthesize or analyze information so that you have students who are much better prepared for critical thinking, because that's what we expect of virtually every student as they enter into careers in the workplace, whether it's in an advanced manufacturing setting or any other setting. So it really wants students to be able to construct arguments or to be able to defend arguments based on what they've read in the text or looking at different sources. As far as math, they're really looking at being able to understand math at a conceptual level, so that you can apply it across different settings, real-world settings, and having some fluency in being able to problem solve or to, you know, be able to think about math mentally, so you can, you know, multiply in your head or you can easily solve a problem on paper and be able to apply that across different settings.
So in other words, use the information. Don't just show that you can use the information in a real-world way. Don't just fill in a bubble on a test.
Right, with critical thinking.
I want to bring you into this too, Laura Haney, but let me also just invite our listeners to join us. The number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the exchange, we're taking another look at the Common Core. Many districts are already on board with these new educational standards. They're on the path to putting them in place, but pushback has developed in some communities, and now state lawmakers are getting involved as well. Join us, 1-800-892-6477. If you have just basic questions about what these new standards might mean for your schools, or if you've heard some things about them and you want to tell us what you think of these new standards, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Laura Haney, very broadly first, how do teachers feel about Common Core at this point?
Well, I'm hearing from New Hampshire teachers and teachers all over the country that we support the Common Core. We think it's a good idea. We think it's as Sam said, they're goalposts to be reached. Where we have some concerns is we don't want to rush into the testing that is going to come with it. And we need to make sure that the teachers have the resources and the staff development to do this. We need to, like I said last time I was here, we need to unpack these standards. But we think they're good standards. We think they were standards that teachers were part of when they were writing it. AFT and NEA, they both reached out and had actual teachers on this committee that wrote these common standards. And, it, you know, in the past, No Child Left Behind and all this stuff, you know, teachers were left out, parents were left out, children were left out. And this is a nice start that teachers were involved in it. And I think at the local community, it's a time to really engage everyone, to really look at these standards and how are we going to bring them forward and understand them for the best of the students.
What is the difference, do you think, Laura, between this and No Child Left Behind? I mean, you mentioned one element, which was that teachers weren't really involved in crafting those standards. What other differences do you see?
The biggest thing is the sanctions that came with No Child Left Behind. Students were given tests, and if they did bad on the test, then schools were money was taken away from them. Teachers had to become highly qualified, which I think was a good thing that came from No Child Left Behind. But the big thing was the sanctions that came along with No Child Left Behind. And every I had a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about if you have sanctions on kids, and you have a classroom teacher, and these sanctions we know are going to be coming. We're going to concentrate on those kids that are going to do well on this test and not the kids that really need that extra support in that time. So I think with the Common Core, we're going to be able to really let the teachers do their job and include all students, not just those high achievers, because when it comes to the sanctions, something's going to happen that's not a good happening.
Well, and there were scandals, right? There was a big one in Atlanta, I think, where teachers were actually caught, erasing the wrong bubbles and filling in the right ones because they didn't want the money taken away from their district. Right. Although it does raise the issue of, how do you, quote unquote, hold schools accountable if there isn't some sort of a stick along with the carrot?
And I think it's appropriate, but I think New Hampshire's always had standards. We've always had frameworks, so we're just looking at the language arts and the math to redo those, which is appropriate. We should be looking at standards. We should be redoing them.
We'll pick up after a short break.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. And I did want to ask you about some of the content areas as well. There's been some pushback among some who love literature that these focus too much on nonfiction instead of fiction. So we'll talk about that. We'll also start taking your calls. So join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. What's going on this week at NHPR? Well, an easy way for you to find out is when you sign up for our e-newsletter this week at NHPR. You'll find out what the exchange, word of mouth, and our newsroom are planning for the week, and you'll also get a behind-the-scenes look at the station. Click on the Connect menu to sign up for our e-newsletter at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Drs. Shell, Noble, and Brown, Lebanon, New Hampshire, providing comprehensive family dentistry, including sedation and treatment for obstructive sleep apnea. ShellNoble.com. From the Wealth Management Group at Merrimack County Savings Bank, trust in wealth management services provided by advisors committed to your financial needs. TheMerrimack.com. And Restaurant Week Portsmouth and the Seacoast, a 10-day culinary experience featuring 45 restaurants November 7th to the 16th. Details at restaurantweekportsmouth.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the new Common Core educational standards that are being implemented around the state and some of the pushback that has developed to these standards. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Also, you can check out our website for more information and more reporting on Common Core. You can give us a call again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Laura Haney, Mark Conrad, Sam Evans Brown. Let's go right to our listeners. Tom's calling in from Moultonboro. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Well, I was curious about when you were talking about understanding mathematics and reading and making sure that the arithmetic is coupled with a sound understanding of the conceptual. How are they actually going to assess in the classroom those different levels of competency? Do they show just unconsciously competent, or do they show consciously competent and using that material? And how is that assessment for design set up?
Yeah, and is there a test involved, Tom, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No, this is the million-dollar question, and I did want to ask all of you about it. There is testing, Mark Conrad. People complained a lot about the tests with No Child Left Behind, but Common Core has tests too, doesn't it?
Common Core does have an assessment that will measure students' understanding of the standards. It's known as Smarter Balanced. It will be coming into place in the spring of 2015. It's different from our NECAP assessments insofar as it's taken online on a computer, and it's adaptive, which means the questions may get easier or harder as students take the test online. And I think many of us believe it will be give us a better understanding of where students are in the standards. But I think it's also important to look at the instructional strategies that have to take place in the classroom so that teachers and students have that understanding of where they are in their conceptual understanding of math. In Nashua, we have a professional development process going on with the Vermont Mathematics Partnership where we're training teachers to understand the natural learning progressions that students go through in understanding increasingly complex math concepts. And part of that process is students talking about their thinking so that you get beyond simply looking at the outcome to understand how students got there.
Well, Sam, the testing. This is always a bugaboo. It's funny. When it comes to Common Core, some people have written that conservatives don't like it because they don't like national or federal involvement in local schools. Liberals don't like it because they don't like standardized tests.
Right. And this sort of gets to, to answer Tom's question really specifically, the standards will be assessed by the Smarter Balance test in 2015, the spring of 2015. We're not 100% sure what that looks like. A couple schools have piloted the test, but we don't have a final practice test in front of us right now that we can say this is exactly what it will look like. So we're not 100% sure. But in terms of how, you know, it sounds like Tom's an educator and he was looking for a specific answer. And unfortunately, I don't think I can give him one because it's going to depend school by school and class by class how those standards are assessed by each district.
Yeah, that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it, Sam? We can all say set the bar. They need to know this and this. But how do you show they know it? And what do you do when they show they don't know it?
And it's especially tricky to know because this isn't a set of curriculum. So teachers are still designing their own curriculum and their own assessments, their own tests around this.
Here's an email from Cheryl that's kind of related to your point, Tom. And Tom, thanks a lot for calling in. Cheryl in Concord says, I struggle to see how Common Core is different from every other reform as long as we continue to insist that all kids learn at the same pace. They don't. Cheryl says we can set whatever standard we want, but unless students don't move on when they fail to meet that standard, it is pointless. We need to acknowledge that we have third graders who read at first grade level but can do fifth grade math and vice versa. The idea of high standards stuck to a rigid grade system seems a recipe for failure. I'd love your thoughts on this, Laura Haney.
Yeah, and I think we focus a lot on the assessment, that high-stakes assessment from Smarter Balance, but I think we need to remember that in a classroom with this Common Core and with developing the curriculum, that let's give the power back to the teachers in working with the students and the parents and what's best for that child. There's many assessments, daily assessments you can do while you're sitting there with the children. It doesn't just have to be this high stakes test. But let's the teachers have that profession back and let's treat them like professionals and let them, you know, take away the consequences of losing money or losing your job, and let us really teach to every child in that classroom. Let us do what we know best as professionals, working with the parents and that child.
So what happens if half the kids in your class, Laura, take this test, or all the kids in the class take the test, and half of them don't do so well?
The high-stakes testing, I think then we really need to look at where is the issues. Let's really digest that data that you get from that test. And you know, if every child in that classroom or 50% got question B wrong, then let's look at that B question and see what are we missing in that. But we have to make sure that we give the teachers the time to digest and understand that data. Not to say, oh, you're a bad teacher, you're fired. But
and
let's
if the
really
school
use
is in
it.
Need of failure,
correct.
Which was the language of No
yeah,
Child Left
yeah.
Behind.
Because the data can be useful.
Joining us now on the phone is someone who's been a major critic of the Common Core. Anne-Marie Banfield is with us, education liaison for Cornerstone Action, a conservative advocacy group. And Anne-Marie, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for covering the subject. It's really important, so it's good to know.
Well, and what is maybe, Anne-Marie, your top one or two concerns about Common Core? If you could just summarize for us, please.
Well, I think it's clear that these are not the best standards that we found in other states throughout the country. Even those who support Common Core, like Fordham, have analyzed the standards and will acknowledge that other states had higher and better standards. So, you know, when we see Common Core roll out and we know that they prepare students for Algebra 1 by ninth grade, which is 2 years behind the top performing countries, we knew right off the bat that we had a problem. You know, the Common Core math doesn't prepare students for the STEM programs in colleges. And, you know, I mean, just simple things like that that you would expect if we were going to do national standards, that they would have been of the highest quality. And I think that's one of the biggest disappointments that we're seeing.
Wow. So these aren't the best, the top
No.
standards that they could have found.
Right, right. And, you know, you brought up an interesting point earlier that there's a de-emphasis on memorization. Well, I'm a math tutor, and I can assure you that memorization is very, very important. Wall Street Journal just had an article out, I think it was yesterday, on the importance of memorization. And this de-emphasis of memorization is really bothering to people like me who understand that, you know, grammar rules, memorizing math facts, that's still important. You can't apply these things to the real world without that foundation in place. And so I'm so glad that you mentioned that in the introduction, because that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing this push to put the cart before the horse kind of mentality, that we want to apply these things to the real world and all of those things that sound very good. But when you look at the remediation rate in New Hampshire, for instance, we have 65% of our kids graduating high school going straight into remedial classes. That tends to be K through 8. That's the basics. That's the foundation. And if we're not going to emphasize memorization of math facts and grammar skills, I mean, how many schools even teach grammar? There's no cursive writing in the Common Core standards. So this de-emphasizing of facts and knowledge and almost shifting this focus to this kind of real world or inquiry based learning, I'm afraid that we're just going to rehash the fads that we've seen in the past, and that it's not going to address the real problems that we're seeing in education.
The New Hampshire BIA, as you know, Anne-Marie, recently came out in favor of Common Core for a number of reasons, including that it will improve the skill level of students, better prepare them for the workforce. What went through your mind, Anne-Marie, when you heard that BIA was coming out in favor of this?
Well, I contacted them and I asked them to sit down, and they've never replied to me. And I thought that was interesting, because I wanted to know, did they really look at the problems that we've seen with Common Core? You know, the content experts that sat on the validation committee, Professor Sandra Stotsky and Professor James Milgram, and why they didn't sign off on the Common Core standards. Did they look at this? Nobody has contacted me. I would like to put them in touch to make sure that their decision was based on facts and information and presented all sides. I think that anybody in the business community has legitimate concerns about what they're seeing come out of some of these public schools. I share those concerns. I'm with them. But when our kids are still going to be 2 years behind our international peers in the top-performing countries, I wonder, do they know that? And how can they stamp and approve something that still puts our kids behind their global competitors?
There are a couple bills in the legislature, Anne-Marie, uh-huh. to delay or limit or completely cancel Common Core. What do you hope happens?
Well, I'm hoping what happens in the state is that we see leadership from our governor at some point. What we see in other states that are now relooking and taking a second look, Indiana, for instance, they bought into Common Core. They had some of the highest standards in the country. They have now put a pause on what they decided a few years ago and are now relooking at this because the parents, the teachers, the administrators are saying, wait a second, what did we do? You know, you're seeing major pushback in states like New York. Superintendents, principals, and teachers who were once fully supportive of Common Core in New York, the backlash that we are seeing right now in New York because they began the testing on Common Core, the backlash that's coming from them, I think is a real eye-opener of what could possibly come in New Hampshire. These people once supported it fully. They've implemented it. And now these teachers are being evaluated based on these tests that many of the principals are now saying, are seriously flawed. One principal called the questions on these new tests as trick questions. She made the argument that CPAs and calculus teachers are having difficulty understanding some of the test questions in first grade that they're being asked on these tests.
That sounds a little too advanced for 6-year-olds. You know, if Common Core here in New Hampshire, again, as I said, there's a number of bills in the legislature, if Common Core were to be rejected or paused, as you said, what would that mean for New Hampshire districts who are already well on their way toward implementation? I think a couple of them are almost 100% there.
Right. I think what we would have to do is we'd have to have real leadership in Concord. We'd have to have leadership that said, you know what, we've looked at these standards, we've heard from the critics, we've heard from people, and we understand that this is not where we want our students to be. And then they need to look at developing the best standards in the state and keeping the control in the state and the local communities. That's what we need out of Concord. That's what we need out of Governor Hassan. Why is she just settling for mediocrity for these students? Even Fordham, Mike Petrolli came out and said on Rich Gerard's radio show that, you know, bravo to Manchester for saying no and saying we're going to elevate our standards. So you even have Common Core supporters coming out and saying, you know what, maybe we can do better.
Okay.
And so that's, I think, my message and what I'd like to see happening in Concord. And it's really sad that we're hearing from superintendents around the state saying, you know what, we're just going to settle for this. I, as a parent, I'm just appalled by that.
Well, Anne-Marie, thank you very much. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for covering this.
Anne-Marie Banfield, again, education liaison for Cornerstone Action, a conservative advocacy group. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And all of you, before we go back to our listeners, I did want to ask you about what Anne-Marie said. Mark Conrad, are you settling for standards that are not the highest that you could have?
I think our teachers would say they're significantly more rigorous. In fact, in some of the information we're looking at using either aligned materials or benchmark assessments based on the Common Core, I think we'll see a significant number of students who were proficient under NECAP who are no longer proficient under Common Core. So,
because it's tougher?
Because it's tougher, and the expectations are accelerated for students, and they're expected to go deeper in their depth of knowledge in how they treat content areas. So we're going to go through a period of time where people will struggle because we're asking students to address standards that they haven't necessarily grown up with in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking teachers to change up their instruction to get students to that greater depth of knowledge. And I agree with Laura that this is really has to be a focus on working with our teachers to improve our capacity for sound instruction that gets students to those better outcomes. But it's going to take a while to get us there. It's going to be a journey.
Well, and Laura, I was struck by what Anne-Marie said about this de-emphasis of facts and knowledge, kind of making the point, look, at some point you do need to know your times tables. You do need to know basic grammar so you can write a sentence. You do need to understand a little bit about how our political system works so you can make an educated vote. So she's worried that we're de-emphasizing basic core knowledge.
And I disagree with that. I think these Common Cores still have the rote memorization in it. Mm-hmm. You still have to know the multiplication. You know, I can remember when I was in fourth grade and my teacher had me in at recess rewriting the multiplication tables so that I would memorize them. But for me, I was better at being able to figure out how can I do in my head 4 times 4 instead of not being able to memorize it, but I could figure it out. I could do that. So I think there's a lot of, you know, different types of learning styles out there. We can't just have memorization for every child out there. So let them give the opportunity to a different avenue to get to that answer.
Yeah. Sam, do you want to jump in?
Sure. The idea that the standards are mediocre is something that conservative critics, especially on conservative talk radio, have really been hammering for a couple of years now. And they frequently point to the state of Massachusetts, which had incredibly high standards, and look how high the standards are there. Why didn't we just copy what Massachusetts was doing? I think a good indication that this is perhaps a misleading talking point is the fact that Massachusetts has adopted the Common Core. So saying that this is mediocre and we're settling, okay, well, why is the state that we're pointing to then also adopting the standards?
Let's take another call if we could. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. David in Ware is up. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Long-time listener. First-time caller. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Welcome, David.
I don't know how we can talk about things like this without the gorilla in the room being discussed a little bit. which is the socioeconomics of, I mean, when you've got teachers that are constantly saying over and over again that they need help from the parents, well, the parents are working, and they're working a lot. And when you take away one of the basics that all the educators tell you you need, and then turn around and argue that, well, we're doing everything wrong, I mean, I don't know how you don't talk about that. You know, I was hoping maybe if you could discuss that, I'd take the answer off here.
Yeah, David, thanks a lot. Socioeconomics, also different districts have different resources, obviously. Some districts are able to pour a lot more money into their schools than others. Thank you very much for the call, David. What do you think, Mark Conrad?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the cost of the Common Core, and in many regards, I don't see a significant cost of the Common Core for us. Many districts have deferred for a long period of time the purchase of materials that are aligned to the Common Core, but it's time for us to begin purchasing materials that we would have to purchase whether or not the Common Core was here. For example, in our district, we replaced our middle school math books last year. They're aligned to the Common Core, but they were replacing books that had fallen apart and gone long past their useful life. Is that a Common Core cost? It's a cost that we would have needed to make, an investment we needed to make regardless of the Common Core.
I'm surprised math books aren't all on iPads. I mean, given
well,
the way
that,
knowledge
that's
changes
part of the discussions
and all that
are going on. I think technology is probably the area where it's the greatest concern. And even there, I think if you have the bandwidth within your schools, you have a 12-week testing window on the Smarter Balance Assessment. The requirements for technology are not overwhelming in my view.
I think Mark's question maybe wasn't so much about how much will Common Core cost to put in place, but more how can you expect poor districts and kids whose parents are really, you know, working three jobs so they can't help them out. How fair is it to expect districts that don't have the resources, families that don't have the time and resources, how fair is it to make them meet this higher standards? I think that's what he was getting at.
You know, I think that is the challenge for districts with large socioeconomic disparities. And that's always been the challenge for districts. You know, the standards are a minimum floor. They don't prevent districts for advanced learners in helping those students get well beyond the Common Core. But our challenge has to be to assure every student meets that level of proficiency. And simply because they're coming from a low-income family doesn't mean they can't reach that goal. It just means there's more effort that has to go into that process and perhaps more resources. But that's there whether or not the Common Core is in place.
Okay, and Laura Haney, I can see you want to jump in. I'll give you a chance after a short break. We'll take more of your calls. Thank you for that one. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Also, check out our website for more information and reporting on Common Core. And we'll be back after a short break.
This is NHPR 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, analysis of President Obama's leadership and management style, then actress and author Fanny Flagg on her latest novel, all coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from TransCanada Generating, Selling Electricity, and a proud supporter of New Hampshire Audubon's initiative to restore nesting bald eagles in the Connecticut River watershed. And from Raff Young and Pignatelli, with law offices in Concord, Nashua, and Boston, National Impact Uniquely New Hampshire, on the web at rafflaw.com. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the commotion over Common Core educational standards being put in place in many school districts around New Hampshire. Join our conversation, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. If you have just basic questions about what these new standards might mean for your schools, or if you've heard some things about them and you want to ask about that, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. Before we go back to our listeners, all of you, Laura Haney, I also wanted to give you a chance to jump in on our caller's point about, you know, resources, time to get kids from disadvantaged backgrounds up with these new tougher standards.
And I think it's a great point. I have always said for several years, wouldn't it be great if businesses stepped up to the plate and let their employees, their family members that have kids in school, the time off to be able to go into the schools and to work with their kids and to volunteer in the schools, and without having to lose pay or to worry about that they're going to lose their job. But, you know, give them the time, you know, during the day to be in that classroom and helping and working with the students as well.
All right, let's take some more calls if we could. And Albert's waiting in Colebrook. Hi, Albert. You're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, Albert, I hope you call back. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. How about Celeste in Hopkinton? Go ahead, Celeste, you're on the air.
Oh, I just wanted to say that this debate seems to be a case of a comparing apples and oranges. On the one hand, you have a way of thinking that facts, everything is factual and can be reduced to black and white, things that can be memorized where there is no possibility of other ideas, of other ways of thinking, that truth is not easily determined, whereas the Common Core sounds like a system in which students are taught to see a world that is flexible and where there can be openness to other ways of thinking.
So, Celeste, this sounds like a good idea to you.
Yes, it does. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, Sam, boy, we always have this with school reform, don't we? This push-pull between we want people who think critically, think for themselves, can solve problems, you know, on the manufacturing floor or wherever they may be. But there are some basics that you need to know. So there's always this tug of war, isn't there?
Sure. And I do think, I do think that this has been, the distinction has been, a lot has been made of it, and there really isn't necessarily a lot to that. The idea that we're not going to be teaching facts, I think, is a bit misleading because you know the Common Core does lay out knowledge that students should have, but it lays it out in a sort of different way. It talks about the skills that students should have mostly, but in order to accomplish those tasks, you still have to have the knowledge base required. So it just doesn't explicitly say perhaps that you know the knowledge is required, but it tells you where you need to get to. And I would defer to Mark or to Laura to really enumerate on that because they probably have a lot more experience with the standards themselves.
Here's an email that came in before the show started, actually, from someone who wanted to get to another critique that often comes up about Common Core. This is from Gary in Merrimack. And Gary, thank you for contacting us. Gary says, how does the involvement of two Washington, D.C.-based lobby organizations, Council of Chief State School Officers and the National Governors Association, lead supporters to claim that the initiative was, quote, state-led? If it were truly state-led, Gary asks, wouldn't the issue have been debated in at least some of the state legislatures? It seems to me that the coercive influence of the federal government's Race to the Top grants and No Child Left Behind waivers greatly prejudices the claim that the state signed on to take advantage of superior academic standards that they helped develop. Again, Gary and Merrimack, thank you for the email. This is another critique, Mark Conrad, of Common Core, that it is still kind of top-down. He's saying, if this is truly state-led, how come we didn't hear about it in the legislature?
You know, I think it was state-led from your governors and your commissioners of education. And as Laura had noted earlier, teachers, other educators. There was a broad consortium of individuals that were engaged in developing the standards. I think the notion that what students learn in one community can be different than what students should be learning in another community is really outdated when you look at the mobility of our families, our workforce. What a student needs to know in Nashua is the same as what a student needs to know in Concord or what a student needs to know in California. And so I think there really was support for the idea that we create a common set of standards so there's consistency for children as they move throughout their educational careers.
So it wasn't debated in the legislature, Mark, but it was there was involvement from the State Department of Education,
right.
And the State Board signed on to this.
They did, and I think there was a sense that these standards made sense. There were conversations about the standards. It didn't necessarily work through the legislature, but there was a lot of effort that went in through different state organizations, and there was, I think, a good sense, they made sense, and that's why the State Board of Education signed on.
You know, we've talked a lot about the critique from the right that this is, you know, amounts to federal involvement or that these standards aren't as high as they could be. Laura Haney, some of the critique from the left has been, A, too much focus on testing, and we talked about that a little bit, but also that these standards focus so much on nonfiction and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Not enough on fiction, not enough on literature. What do you think about that critique, that we're just rushing down this science, technology, engineering, and math and leaving other things beside that may also help us develop critical thinking?
I think it's all part of it. I think the nonfiction, the fiction is still part of these standards. But if you're looking at a third grader, what is the best way to get them to really read and interested is to look at a book that gives you information about the zoo. You know, so then they start reading this informational text about the zoo, and then they start asking questions, and you can bring them to the field trip to the zoo. So I think it's a good thing to add in there instead of just the fiction and area that's you know, fluffy and a lot of details in it. Because there's some kids out there that just want the facts. Give me the facts. I don't want all this fluffy stuff. I get confused with this fluffy stuff. So the best way for them to learn is to give me the facts. Some of the other kids would be, give me the fluffy stuff. I need that. So I think these Common Core, these standards will give us that range that we will able to do that.
Yeah, Mark and then Sam.
Yeah, I think they'll also, in the way Laura's talking, they're supporting the integration of learning across content areas. So as we think about literacy isn't one period during the day and then you move on to something else. You can use the literacy standards for students to gain content knowledge, whether it's in social studies or science. And I think we have to think more about integrating subjects because our teachers are the first ones to say they don't have enough time in the day to meet the needs of students for learning. And this is a way of addressing multiple levels of learning at the same time.
Sure, breaking down the silos, so to speak,
right,
that science is only science.
And making it more engaging, too, because then it lends itself to more project-based work or more real-world performance assessments.
Although for a lot of kids, fiction is what engages them in reading.
And it doesn't say the standards don't say you can't have students reading fiction. In fact, at the elementary level, I think it's a 50-50 balance they're looking at.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, you know, a lot of this, again, this has been a big point of criticism for the standards, and the people who wrote the standards respond by saying, we're not saying take fiction out. We're saying add more nonfiction in other classes apart from English, you know, get more reading happening in science classes and social studies classes, and that's where the nonfiction comes from, and that's where you increase that ratio. That's what they say, but what it will come down to is what happens in each school. So if a district interprets this as, oh, we need more nonfiction in a literature class, that could happen. And certainly a lot of the critiques of what's happening in, say, New York State is that that's what's happened there. So, but it's not like there's some magician behind the curtain making this happen. It's a decision made at the local level.
I see. So something you're saying, Sam, for local districts and for teachers and parents to be aware of, that this isn't misconstrued as, you know, forget Harry Potter, we're all going to read, you know, the 50 states and
right,
how they came to be.
And, you know,
not that there's anything wrong with that, but
and I've been heard to say it before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, the Common Core, it will really come down to how it's implemented at the school-by-school level to determine how successful it is.
Well, that's what you said earlier, Laura Haney. One of the things that teachers like about this is Common Core says, here are the standards, but you teachers figure out how to get there.
Correct, yeah. And give us the time to do that and the resources, because we need to do so that the teachers can select and adapt and try out and redefine these lesson plans that we can do. Because sometimes the first try doesn't work and you can tweak it, and the second time it's wonderful.
Let's go to another caller if we could. Sue is waiting in Alton. Hi, Sue, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Go ahead, Sue.
To begin with, I'd like to state that Alton has already rejected the Common Core, so I do not have a horse in this race.
That's right. I remember reading that. Go ahead, Sue. Yeah.
But I have daughters and five grandchildren who live in the Denver area where this program has been implemented. And they are so horrified and dismayed at what is going on now in the school system that they are considering pulling their children out and putting them into private school.
Wow. What is it that's horrifying and dismaying them, Sue?
Well, in the first place, one of my daughters said that my husband and I will be going out there for Thanksgiving. She said, wait till you see these textbooks. They were written by seventh graders. even the elementary school children cannot understand them. They don't make sense. She said it's clearly not a college preparatory curriculum. It is aimed at the lowest common denominator so that children who have any degree whatsoever of proficiency are just completely dumbfounded by the ignorance and sometimes the incorrect information. They come to their mothers and say, what in the world is going on here? In addition to that, the data mining, the data collection from all this testing stands to greatly benefit companies like Microsoft, and many people feel that the data collection questionnaires and the questions that are asked are very invasive and intrusive and personal, and they're just, they feel that the whole thing is driven by the money that comes along with the acceptance by whatever organization of these programs. And
so can I jump and ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're running close to the end of the hour, and I did want to ask you this. So you're saying your daughter's experience in Denver was these are dumbed down.
Absolutely. But other people
have said that, you know, like when they were put in place in New York City, the kids couldn't do it because they were too tough. So I'm just wondering which it is.
Well, maybe New York City had lower standards to begin with. I don't really know about that, but they definitely feel that they are dumbed down and that that their children will not get the preparatory education that they would like to see them have. And they were quite content with the Denver schools up until this took place.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Sue, just in the interest of time. Thank you for calling in. What do you think, Mark?
I actually think over time you're going to see richer materials available because you now have one set of standards across the country. And you know, as you look at what's out there available through the web, for example, there's tremendous resources available for teachers. There's certainly any range of different books that are available on any topic. So it really comes down to, as Laura's pointing out, the individual districts and individual teachers looking at the range of materials that are available. There is some very good stuff out there now with a single set of standards. So as our teachers develop new lesson plans, they're going out to different sites that have lesson plans available. I know the AFT has a site for lesson plans, looking at what they think makes the most sense for their students.
I see. So maybe Denver hasn't, again, there's a lot of local control here, and you're saying maybe Denver hasn't gone about this the right way. Not that you want to critique another school district, but they could do a better job meeting
these
standards.
Well, and it does put it back on the curriculum specialists within the district and the individual teachers to be insightful about the materials that they have available to them, because there's a broad range of materials, so it's going to look different district to district.
One more quick question for you, Sam Evans-Brown, if I could. Sue raises another critique that I have heard, concern that this is being driven by money. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, those race to the top funds from the Obama administration, and the companies that write the textbooks and develop the tests. This is all about the money.
Sure. So certainly that's another talking point that's been floating around. I think that, first of all, New Hampshire did not receive any Race to the Top funds or Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds. So it makes it a little harder to make that argument. You could say that folks at the New Hampshire Department of Education were hoping to get that money, and that's why they adopted the standards. And, you know, from my conversations with the policymakers over there, it doesn't seem that way, but it's hard to dispel, you know, that sort of counterfactual there. And what the counterargument is that states can adopt any quote unquote college or career ready standards that would, and they would be eligible for that money. And that's what states like Virginia have done. They developed their own standards that were found to be rigorous enough, and they went with those. So,
but they're still under Common Core?
No, they're their own standards. They looked at the Common Core. They said, well, our standards are already doing a lot of these things. We were ahead of the game. So why are we going to change what we were already doing? So, you know, it's, I think what happens is that a lot of states that hadn't done that work already said, you know, why are we going to reinvent the wheel when someone has already developed the standards that seem like they're doing a good enough job? Let's just take what's already been done.
So Virginia is one of those five states that have not adopted Common Core.
Correct.
All right. Let's take one more call if we could. Fred in Portsmouth, go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'd just like to make the point of how important memorization is, just in the sense of internalizing ideas. Let me give you an example. Let's say we lived in a state that had 10% sales tax. I bought something for $100 and the clerk said that's going to be $200. I don't sit down with a pencil and paper. I say to myself, wait a minute, there's something terribly wrong here. But that's only because I've memorized and internalized numbers and their magnitudes. It's not a matter of knowing that 7 times 8 equals 56. these ideas you've got to internalize. It's like learning how to walk. You know, if you laid out for a baby, here's what you have to do to walk. He wouldn't learn to walk. He has to fall down 58 times to do it.
Fred, I'm going to let you go just because of time. Thank you so much for calling. Laura Haney, more concerns that some stuff does need to be memorized. It's boring. We don't like it, but you got to do it.
You got to do it, but you also have to realize that every child has a different learning style, and we have to be able to adapt to that.
What do you think is going to happen, Mark Conrad, with all these bills in the legislature? Common Core is going to be slowed down, put off, or proceed on track?
I think the question in the end will be, do you delay the implementation of the Smarter Balance Assessment as opposed to changing
the
standards? Yes, to give teachers more time to prepare for that. I think most districts are just moving forward because it's the right thing to do for students in supporting our teachers. And we're just going to continue to move forward, and we'll see what comes down.
Yeah, so that sounds a good idea to you, Laura Haney, actually, because
yes.
You've been wanting more time.
Correct.
Also, one email I didn't have a chance to get to raised the concern that if this test is computer-based, some schools have the computers, some schools don't.
From what I understand, it's also there's a written portion that it can be pencil and paper as well.
Okay. Sam, last thoughts?
Yeah, so just one of the bills that's before the legislature is the idea of sharing the cost of those computer upgrades, and because certain districts like North Conway that perhaps are a little behind are going to have a big bill. So something like that might get traction. I think the idea of pulling out of the Common Core entirely doesn't stand a real shot in our legislature.
All right. Sam, thank you for making time out for us today. We appreciate it.
Of course.
Sam Evans-Brown, education reporter for NHPR. Laura Haney, good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Laura Haney, president, the American Federation of Teachers New Hampshire, and Mark Conrad. It was good to meet you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Conrad, superintendent of schools for the Nashua School District. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Mikesell. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, have we created a culture of coddling? School decisions banning dodgeball and tag have reignited a broader debate on whether we're overprotecting kids. Some say parents today need to let go, that growing up must involve some element of risk. But others say the world has changed with new realities of childhood and different expectations for parental involvement. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show next at 10 o'clock on NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from Hinckley Allen, attorneys at law who believe a lawyer should also understand your business. More information about Hinckley Allen and the clients they serve is online at hinckleyallen.com. And from New England College, with a convenient site in downtown Concord offering innovative Masters of Fine Arts programs in poetry and fiction to enhance your experience. Info at nec.edu.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
Good morning, it's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. President Obama faced criticism in recent weeks for what the White House says he did not know. The first has to do with the Affordable Care Act website and whether the president should have been informed about the extent of the technical problems before the rollout.